Let us say together our statement of faith. We have come together to gather around the God of possibilities, the God who created all things and all people and called them good, the God who sent the Son to teach us about God's kingdom of abundance and radical risk-taking, the God who calls us not to be afraid, but to trust the Spirit to lead us forward. We have gathered to sing praise to the God of possibilities, to learn from and be transformed by the Word, to break bread together, so that we might learn that God's kingdom has room for all. Hear now the reading of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise and night and day. The seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed which is sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds of the earth, and yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? O Lord my God, my rock and my redeemer, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Throughout the various gospel stories in this series, Jesus was either with his disciples or a great crowd of people gathered all around him. At the beginning of each gospel, there is a call to repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. And we have heard stories in this series about what the kingdom of God is like. A great cloud of witnesses cheering us on, not just in the stands to observe, but because they have gone before us. They have followed Jesus, and their witness helps us to follow in their footsteps. The kingdom of God is like a generous and reckless sower that throws the seeds even in places unlikely to take root and grow. The kingdom of God is like a man who goes away for a while and trusts his servants with all of his property and possessions, and upon returning, praises those who have used and invested what they've been given rather than living in fear and burying their hope. The kingdom of God is like a shepherd who leaves the 99 to go looking for the one lost sheep, and a woman who turns her house upside down looking for one of her 10 precious coins that's gone missing. And then both the woman and the shepherd throw a party to celebrate that the lost things have been found. Today, our text is again a growth metaphor, two more about sowing seeds. In the first one, the farmer simply sows the seed and goes on about their lives, waiting for the seeds to grow, not knowing how it all works, but trusting that the sun and the rain will bring forth a bountiful harvest. The second one is about the tiny little mustard seed that grows into a mighty shrub that provides enough space for all the birds to nest. We've gathered around these five parables throughout this study to think about what the kingdom of God is like. So here on the last Sunday of the Gather Around series, what are some words you would use to describe what the kingdom of God is like? This is the first time that I've asked for a little call and response. Abundant. What else? Say again, Dan. No more pain. Peaceful. Glorious. Challenging. Hopeful. Joyous. Grateful. Ever-growing. Mysterious. Reckless in the best ways. What I love about God's kingdom is that there's not just one way to describe it. Jesus had to get creative to give his disciples and these crowds a glimpse into what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus used stories of his time to make illustrations about the ways God's kingdom was unfolding, redeeming creation, and entering into the world again. If Jesus was standing here, I'd bet he'd have 20 more creative parables that relate to us in 21st century America. 20 more, or even more parables to be creative, to relate to the way that we experience God's kingdom among us. A little bit more than sowing seeds and herding sheep. When we think about the people he was talking to, most often he was talking to everyday folks, not the most educated, not the religious elite, not the politically influential people. His disciples were blue-collar folk, except for Matthew, who was a tax collector, who was hated by pretty much everyone for choosing to participate in the Roman oppression of the Jewish people. Jesus pulled all sorts of people together and used parables to get people thinking about the God of possibilities. We 21st century Christians living in capitalist America look at the world through the lens of our context. We are set apart. We do live differently, but we're in the world and not of the world, and yet the world tells us we are inherently not good enough. We've got to work hard to have good things. We've got to keep track of all the good that we do and try to balance it out with the bad that we do and make sure God's going to keep on liking us. I heard someone say, rest feels like laziness, and unproductivity feels like worthlessness. That mindset is not of God. Here in the parable of the sower, Jesus is saying it's not about how hard you try. It's about a collaboration between us and God, co-laboring, working together. In my first church, my lay leader and I were very close. We were on the phone probably multiple times a week, dreaming together about how the church could grow, solving problems, making plans, as 21st century people do. We've always got to be looking for the next step, even though maybe that's not always what God wants us to do. Maybe sometimes God wants us to rest like we did this Wednesday from Fresh Food Wednesday. Sometimes we're called to take a break. We worked together really well. She and her husband, though, were farmers. They grew cotton in the fall and corn and peanuts on alternating years in the summer. She stayed quite busy most of the time with all of the ways that she was involved in the community, but in between sowing and harvesting, she had a little more free time. However, when it was time to plant or time to harvest, it was a race against the weather to get everything done in time. But in between was time to rest. Rest must be part of our collaboration with God. We cannot pour from an empty cup. In the same way that Shelley and I worked closely together, God works closely with us as we scatter the seeds and then let God do the rest. It's hard for us not to think that we need to be out watering and weeding and tilling. It's hard for us not to think that everything is dependent on us. That's the beauty of this parable. God works with us in mysterious ways to make the seed take root, to let the rain come at just the right amount, to have the sun shine so that there might be growth, so that there might be a plentiful harvest. I live in a colonial-style home, so it's very symmetrical. My front door is at the center. There's a rock bed on either side of the steps. And there's one hydrangea planted in each rock bed on either side of the steps. Similarly, at the foot of the steps, there's two flower pots, one on either side, with one geranium planted in each pot. Tell me why the ones on the right side of the porch grow better, and the ones on the left side of the porch are a little bit puny. Even though they're a little smaller, the ones on the left side are still growing. They are still beautiful, but they're not that far away from each other. They're in the same soil. Why is one so much bigger than the other? It's a mystery. We live in a culture that tells us we always have to work hard, that constantly emphasizes the dichotomies of division, liberal, conservative, good, bad, strong, weak, poor, and rich. Our culture emphasizes a scarcity mindset. We've got to have what's bigger, what's better. Even though we're one of the richest countries in the world, we're made to believe that there's not enough food, there's not enough jobs, there's not enough housing, there's not enough money for healthcare and education, let alone paid maternity leave. But in the parable of the mustard seed, the economy of God is made clear. The smallest seed becomes a mighty shrub where all the birds of the air can rest. The kingdom of God becomes a healthy ecosystem. It's communal, not commercial. What's interesting about the mustard seed parable is that in Matthew and Luke's gospel, it takes the place in a garden or in a field. Mark's gospel places it somewhere in the ground, an unspecified location. It's not a seed anyone would intentionally plant. It was a natural plant for that environment, but it was also a pervasive weed. It would grow quickly and take over. Nobody intentionally planted it, but it served a purpose for the birds. The interpretation commentary suggests that this parable speaks of a kingdom which, for all its miraculous extensions, remains lowly. Mustard is an annual plant. Its perpetuation depends on renewed sowing, and its perennial promise depends on the life of the seed. It is an image which corresponds closely to the picture of the kingdom of God in Mark. A mystery whose realization will come as a surprise. A reality whose weakness is in its power. Someone recently told me about one of their flower pots growing what seemed to be a mysterious weed. They never picked it. They never pulled it out. Turns out they're growing corn. A bird probably dropped it somewhere along the way. You never know when a seed might grow in the most unlikely of places. I see this church as a mighty shrub, a place where people from every background feel at home, a place where people from churches of many denominations and people who claim no faith at all unite together to take care of one another, to take care of our community, to make sure that there's enough for everyone. God's kingdom is a mystery with dozens of ways to describe it. There is one appropriate dichotomy which applies to God's kingdom. Now and not yet. It is here now in this place where we worship, where we come to the table of grace, where we feed thousands of people each month, where we offer clothing to those in need. It is out there where a neighbor brings food to a grieving spouse, where the sick are not left lonely, where people are trusting and generous, where seeds are scattered and sheep are searched for. But it's obvious where the kingdom of God is not. It's not where greed reigns. It's not where people are selfish. It's not where harm is done to the elderly, women, and children. It's not where racism persists. It's not where violence rules. And yet, God is where the lost things are. God sends us to scatter the seeds in places where God's reign is not yet acknowledged, knowing that the harvest is coming and there is room for all. Amen.